Welcome to the Living Word Assemblies of God Toronto podcast. As the Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Yes, it is the complete human experience. So relax and re-energize yourself with this powerful word.
Father, this morning we humble ourselves before you. We acknowledge you as our King. We live in a world that is so complex, that is so godless, that is so scriptureless. But you have placed us in this world as salt and light. We cannot do without the word. Help us. Grant us the grace. Grant us the boldness. Grant us the courage. Grant us the strength to live by your word. Father, we ask that you be exalted. Heal marriages today. Change lives today. Encourage somebody this morning. Embolden somebody this morning. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Can I hear amen? Thank you very much. You are all welcome. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I'm glad I'm sitting by you this day. This morning, I'm speaking on a simple subject of captioning, seek for a healthy marriage. Amen. You know, marriage is the oldest institution made by God. In the Garden of Eden, God began with marriage. The devil tried to destroy it. And ever since that time, he's been working very hard. But in Revelation chapter 19, we will appear at the marriage supper. Which means that there are keys. There are certain things you need to do. There's a way to live to ensure that your marriage becomes like heaven on this earth. Can I hear amen? So we'll try and answer three questions. What is a healthy marriage? How do I create a healthy marriage? How do I sustain a healthy marriage? You know, World Health Organization encourages the world to focus on being healthy. Because, you know, when you are healthy, it changes everything about you. Well, if you don't have the health, you can't even fight any disease or sickness. So the goal of doctors and of nurses and World Health Organization is to make sure that people are living healthy lives. So let me begin by giving, there are so many definitions, but let me give you one that I think I like. So healthy marriage refers to a mutually satisfying relationship that is beneficial to the husband and wife, and also to children. It is a relationship that is committed to ongoing growth, utilizing the skills of effective communication and conflict management. And you realize that there are two key things there. Effective communication is not just talking, but being very careful how you speak, how you say what you intend to say, how you reveal what you are even thinking, taking into consideration the emotions, the feelings of the person who is listening to you, and then conflict management. You know, life is full of conflict. So let me give you what I believe. This is what I think when it comes to health and healthy churches. First of all, I believe that healthy marriages grow stronger, they grow wealthier, they grow wiser, okay, with time through trials and triumph. Whatever it is, this is what I believe. I believe that healthy marriages fight and overcome viruses, diseases, sicknesses that attack it. And for those attacks, they are inevitable. But when they come, it depends on how healthy your marriage is. I see somebody developing and building and cultivating a healthy marriage. Can I hear amen? Healthy marriages do not just happen. All right? It must be carefully, intentionally, and faithfully cultivated. You have to make up your mind that I'm going to make sure that my marriage is a healthy one. It's hard work. It's not easy. That's why it is not for babies. Can I hear amen? Yeah, it's challenging. You know, if you are not in it, you wouldn't know what it is. And I wish and I hope that the day that you stand, I wish that the day you are standing, like we are going to experience today, standing at the altar, you would have known the future, the path, the trajectory, the journey that both of you are going to embark on. I wish you could go ahead, go forward 20, 25, 30 years and bring it to the now and understanding and living. I'm sure most of us would have said, God, please, I don't want to marry. I don't think it is for me. Yeah, some people are shaking their heads because I know I have witnesses in the house. But some of you have no clue because you haven't even gotten there. But that's okay. Healthy marriages functions like heaven on earth with heaven's principles on earthly marriages. It's very significant. These are some of the things that I believe. So let me interject it with a video that tries to talk about thinking whether you have the right person that you've gotten married to or not. So let's watch this video and then I'll come back and we'll continue. I'm sure some of you are saying, what is Pastor doing? Amen. Amen.
During one of my seminars, a woman asked, how do you know if you married the right person? Here's what I told her. Every relationship has a cycle. First, you fall in love. You await their call, desire their touch, and that weird thing they do. You actually think it's cute. Falling in love isn't hard. It's a spontaneous experience. You don't have to do anything. It just happens. Falling in love also doesn't take any wisdom or skill. It happens naturally. That's why it's called falling in love, because you are not controlling it. But after a few years of marriage, the euphoria of love fades, doesn't it? That's just the natural cycle of every relationship. Slowly but surely, the calls become a bother, if they come at all. Touch is not always welcome, and that weird thing they do now drives you nuts. At this point, you might ask, like the woman in my seminar did I marry the right person? And this is when marriages break down. You might start to blame your spouse for your unhappiness and seek fulfillment outside your marriage. But believe me, the solution to this problem is not with someone else. It's with you. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you couldn't fall in love with someone else. You could. And for a while, you'd be happy. But then you'd be in the same situation with that someone else years later. Everyone knows the divorce rate in first marriages is 50%. But do you know what it is in second marriages? 70%. Third marriages? 80%. What? Shouldn't it be going down? Shouldn't people be learning from their mistakes? Usually the mistake people think they made is that they married the wrong person. But in most cases, the mistake was not who you married. It was how you loved. You see, the key to succeeding in marriage is not finding the right person. It's learning to love the person you found. Real, lasting love is not something you find. It never just happens, and there's nothing natural about it. You have to make love day in and day out. You have to cultivate it. It takes time, effort, and energy. And most importantly, it takes wisdom. You have to know what to do to make the marriage work. Isn't that true of everything? Knowledge plus practice equals success. It's the same in marriage. Make no mistake about it. Love is not a mystery. You don't have to be lucky in love. You have to be smart. There are specific things you can do that breed intimacy and connection, and other things you shouldn't do that'll destroy any relationship. Instead of obsessing about how to find love, let's invest in learning how to love. Remember all that time and effort you put into making the wedding and the courtship great? Let's put some time and effort into making our marriage great. And if you get a moment, message me how it's going.
Amen. Amen. I want it to speak for itself. You know? And those of you who haven't gone into it yet, their reality is not mystery, it's real life. Revelation chapter 19. Normally people don't preach at weddings from Revelation 19. Okay. The Bible says, after this I heard what sounded like a vast crowd in heaven shouting, praise the Lord, salvation and glory and power belong to our God. His judgments are true and just. He has punished the great prostitutes who corrupted the earth with their immorality. He has avenged the murder of his servants. And again, their voices rang out. Praise the Lord. The smoke from that city ascends forever and ever. Then the 24 elders and the four living beings fell down and worshiped God, who was sitting on the throne. They cried out, Amen, praise the Lord. And from the throne came a voice that said, praise our God. All his servants, all who fear him, from the least to the greatest. Then I heard again what sounded like the shout of a vast crowd, or the roar of mighty ocean waves, or the crash of loud thunder. Praise the Lord. For the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice, and let us give honor to him. For the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb. And his bride has prepared herself. She has been given the finest of pure white linen to wear. For the fine linen represents the good deeds of God's holy people. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. In Jesus' name, can I hear amen?
Amen.
I know some of you are wondering, why is Pastor speaking from the book of Revelation chapter 19? It is not strange. The book of Revelation is not there for us to predict the day, the time, the hour that Jesus is coming. The book of Revelation is there to reveal so many things to us. One of them is for us to know how heaven will be like when it comes to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and then help us bring it to the now, those of us who know this God, who believe in this Christ. I'm not talking about those who come to church. This morning, I'm not here for those who come to church. I'm here for those who believe that they have accepted Jesus as their Lord and personal Savior. He's their Lord. What he says is what they do. He's the one they take command from. There are so many people in church, they don't take command from Scripture. They take command from themselves, from their friends, from society, from culture. But if you want to believe and take your word from God, I am speaking to you this morning. It's not going to be easy, but God is going to be with you. Are you getting the point? So there are few things I want you to get to enable you to cultivate a healthy marriage. So this morning, if you forget about anything that I'll say, remember that what is supposed to happen in heaven, God's expectation is that for those of us who believe in him, we will live it here on this earth. That's why the Bible says, you are the light. I am the light. You are the salt. I am salt. On this earth, without us, the world wouldn't have the real thing. They wouldn't see heaven happening on this earth. God has found you. Don't let him regret for saving you. Can I hear amen? Look at your neighbor and tell him, Pastor is talking to you now. So listen. Don't be distracted. Seek for healthy marriage. What do you need to do? Number one, praise the Lord, your God. Now, if you want your marriage to be healthy, whether you like the marriage or not, praise God. Yeah, because in the first place, you are the one who said the person is the one you love. When I was in the Bible school, we were doing ministry ethics, and our lecturer said, no, for us as pastors, our goal is to help people live a better life. So, whatever and whoever you bring, we will bless for you. Yeah. The Bible says, he who finds a wife. So, it's your responsibility to seek and find a wife. Amen? That is for the men. For the women, the Bible says, he who finds a wife. So the men, you have to look for a wife. So you find, you go out there and search. You search for a wife. And once you say that, okay, this is the person I have found, this is the person I'm madly in love. You saw the video. You are falling in love. That's okay. You don't need anything to fall. All you need is to fall. So fall in love. But sustaining the love is not just falling. It's skills. It's knowledge. It's insight. It's wisdom. It's patience. It's not like you thought. Because life has realities. Look at your neighbor's face and say, Pastor, I'm serious this morning. Amen. Because it saddens my heart when you look around, you look at the world, and look at the way, the level of which marriage is going. We are living in North America, in Canada, in places, and sometimes you're not very careful. You relate this place to Sodom and Gomorrah because of what is happening. But you know me, those of you who have sat around me, I don't have any problem with people who will say that, well, for me, I believe that marriage is between a man and a man, or anybody can marry, or a man can marry a dog. I don't have a problem. My problem is that for those of us who believe that marriage is between a husband and a wife, how are we living it? Now, the reason all these alternatives are here is because the original hasn't been lived as well. You haven't been good example. You have to focus on the genuine. If that is the genuine, then we have to pay the price. We have to sacrifice to live it out. Can I hear amen? Yeah, maybe you just came for a wedding, but God has brought you here to change your understanding. He's brought you here to help you represent Him well wherever you are. It's not just marriage. It's not just you coming. There's more behind. The truth is that God has chosen that institution so that through you and your wife, He will reveal who He is to the world. Some of you will get it after we are done. So praise the Lord your God. Praise Him in two ways. First of all, as your source of life and sustainer. So what He's saying that in the marriage, open your mouth, give God a loud voice, shout it out, voice it out, tell it out, say hallelujah. There are men who cannot even lift up their voice and say hallelujah to God. Praise Him, shout, because you have to declare. Let your wife know that you are born again, you are a child of God, you believe in Him. Just praise Him, dance before Him, celebrate Him. Now, if you don't do it, it's not for your wife. You know, it is you are doing it because of who you are. Can I hear amen? Praise Him because salvation and glory and honor and power belongs to God. No, I don't know what you want. What do you want from God for your marriage? You want Him to save the marriage. Is it salvation you want? Is it honor you want? Is it glory you want? Is it power to be manifested in your marriage? Is that what you want? If that is what you want, then you have to praise Him. You have to worship Him. You just take your eyes from your wife or your husband and praise God. Just focus on Him. He's the one who saved you. He has these things. Number two, in praising Him, it's not only for you to praise Him as your source of life and sustainer, but also as your righteous judge. So always have that in mind. All right, the Bible says in Revelation, you know, what you need to do is that you know that God will judge you. No, and God is a righteous judge. You can't bribe Him. Now, I want you to get, sometimes when we relate some of these things to God, your mind is here on this as though, I think when I have some cash in my pocket, I can bribe God. No, God is not an unrighteous judge. So I want you to get it. This is serious business. He will judge you. Look at it. So what I'm saying is that avoid sexual immorality, avoid adultery, avoid sexual and sensual sins, looking at other women and so on, girls and wives lustfully. No, avoid it. We all have eyes. Sometimes you on your cell phone, and some men, I mean, about 60-70% of men here in North America are engaged in pornography. Some of you are looking at my face, and you know. No, because this morning all of us are in sin, so nobody, it's not written here, but it's written in your conscience. Yeah. And you know that is what is destroying you and destroying your marriage, destroying your life. But look at it very carefully. Now, don't let me talk too much. Let me just read. I like it. Proverbs chapter 5. Now listen. It says, my son, pay attention to my wisdom. Listen carefully to my wise counsel. Then you will show discernment. And your lips will express what you have learned. For the lips of an immoral woman are as sweet as honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is as bitter as poison, as dangerous as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. For she cares nothing about the path of life. She staggers down a crooked trail and doesn't realize it.
So now, my sons, listen to me. Never stray from what I am about to say. Stay away from her. Don't go near the door of a house. If you do, you will lose your honor, and will lose to merciless people all you have achieved. Strangers will consume your wealth, and someone else will enjoy the fruit of your labor. In the end, you will groan in anguish. When disease consumes your body, you will say, how I hated discipline. If only I had not ignored all the warnings. Oh, why didn't I listen to my teachers? Why didn't I pay attention to my instructors? I have come to the brink of utter ruin, and now I must face public disgrace. Now listen carefully. Drink water from your own well. Share love only with your wife. Why spill the water of your springs in the streets? Having sex with just anyone, you should reserve it for yourselves. Never share it with strangers. Let your wife be a fountain of blessing for you. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. She is a loving dear, a graceful doe. Let her breast satisfy you always. May you always be captivated by her love. Oh, why? Some of you, why? Let me drink water on top of it. Some of you are behaving like you have children here. Some of you are behaving like, yeah. No, this is the problem of Christians. No, we don't teach you the truth in church. So you go and pick up the lies outside and you think that is the way it ought to be. Can I read the Bible? No, this is the Bible. Or some of you, do you think I'm reading history book? No, I think some people are thinking, is it in the Bible? Oh, yeah. You think Bible has... Don't worry. One of the days, next year summer, I will talk about sex in church. It's a new title. So write it down. When I forget, like Auntie Comfort is holding me on the book of Revelation. That's why I'm preaching today from the book of Revelation chapter 19. Now pick it up. No, I'm serious. The Bible says, look, this is Proverbs chapter number what? Okay, which verse are we now? Some of you want me to go back. Never share it with strangers. They say, Pastor, go back and read that part again. Yeah, I know. Some of you are saying, it's not the ladies who are saying, the men are thinking it. Never share it with strangers. Let your wife be a fountain of blessing for you. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. She is a loving dear, a graceful doe. Let her breasts satisfy you always. May you always be captivated by her love. Why be captivated, my son, by an immoral woman? Or fondle the breast of a promiscuous woman? For the Lord sees clearly what a man does, examining every path he takes. An evil man is held captive by his own sins. There are ropes that catch and hold him. He will die for lack of self-control. He will be lost because of his great foolishness. I don't want you to be foolish. I am your pastor. I'm telling you. Some of you have lost. You have come here to hustle for 20, 30, 50 years. You go and build in Ghana. You travel there and there's some pure woman. Destroys your life. Yeah. No, it's not. Don't pray in tongues when you do those things. You can go to other prophets to pray for you. Not me. As for me, I'll tell you the truth. Because there are certain things, we don't have to waste time on it. That is foolishness. That's what the Bible is saying. Don't destroy your life with your own foolishness or your own stupidity. And then you turn around and blame your grandmother because her tooth are gone. You are blaming her. Can I hear amen? Some of you don't like it, but that's okay. Now, for those of you who are worshiping with us for the first time, because today is wedding, that's why I'm preaching like that. So don't worry. The next time we can come, I'll preach nice. Can I hear amen? Yeah, that, now you know what I'm saying? That is how you praise God. So you praise God with your voice by shouting, and you praise Him by living right. Okay, by loving your wife. When it's not shouting, but the more you obey God, by loving your wife and treating her well and serve, God is in heaven and is excited and glad and released and pouring His blessings upon your life, even without asking. That's okay. Some of you understand it better. Can I hear amen? All right. So don't worry. Don't just praise God. Some of you are saying, Pastor, can you just change it? Okay, let me change it. Don't praise God alone. But number two, praise each other daily. Now, praise each other daily. Bring out the best in each other. No, naturally, human beings are said that we concentrate on the negative. Ah, No two enemies ever marries. When you saw yourself under the coconut tree, those of you who are here in Canada, when you met at Tim Hortons or met at the movie theater, and then you are holding your hands and say, I love you, I love you. No, you were not enemies. You really meant it. What has changed is that when the realities got in, you forgot to realize that you need skills, you need wisdom, you need patience, you need tact. Praise each other. Save each other. That's what he said. It's in Revelation chapter 19. Because what God did. So save each other. Honor each other. Glorify each other. In other words, beautify each other. Bring out the beauty in each other. Because there is beauty in every human being. No matter how bad, how blah, 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 blah your wife is. She's not even blah, 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 blah. That's good. That's why when she's talking. My mommy was sharing her testimony 50 years of marriage. Within 50 years of marriage, well, they just sat down in 50 years, 50 years, with all the changes of life. Mamu told us last time. She said, when she talked, blah, 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 and then Dada would be quiet. And then Mama would say, I'm talking, won't you talk? He said, you're talking. It's me too, I talk. Yeah. No, that's how you survive till 50 years. Can I hear amen? Amen? Yeah. You saw the video. Before they got married, they were, and then after they married for 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, the man is touching, and the woman will pull them around her and say, yeah, that's not the time for you to get angry. That's the time for you to begin to praise God. Yeah. Now, if you don't praise God, you will sin. Oh, you people are Christians. You are holy. Can I hear amen? So do we serve each other, treat each other well. Now, when we praise God and praise each other, why should we do it? Because number one, God commands it. It shows that we are his servants. When you praise God, it shows that we are God-fearing. It shows that the Lord our God, the Almighty God, reigns in our affairs. What does it mean? It shows what our priority is, not us. The marriage is not about us. It's about him. It's about God. You know, no matter who we are, whether we are small, great, whether you are rich or poor, it doesn't matter. Whether you have the money, all the money on this earth, that does not matter. Whether you have all the degrees on this world, it does not matter. When you are praising God and praising each other, you are telling God that God, our priority is on you, and as we praise you and worship you, it affects the marriage on this earth. Because friends, if you don't do it this way, you will struggle to the marriage. It shows our true levels. It shows it. Praise is the leveler. It brings all of us to the same level. It shows the source of our joy and gladness. It shows what we are made up of. It shows that we are accepted by him regardless. When you praise him, that's what it shows. It shows that we are honoring God and we are honoring each other. It shows that we have no time to waste on our weaknesses and our mistakes. When you praise your wife, she does something bad, and you praise him, you praise her. Instead of shouting, you praise her. You know, so you negate it. Those of you that are little mathematics, plus and minus is minus. And I mean what? Minus minus is plus. You still remember your mathematics? Okay, we are good. Look at it. So praise God, praise each other. Number two, which is the third thing. The third thing is that worship God alone. Look, if you want your marriage to work, and you are a child of God and you are a Christian, please, worship God. Worship God. Don't just come to church. Worship him. Because the world around us is doing everything possible to destroy marriages. Now, I don't need to give you the statistics. Worship God. Be serious with God. I'm not saying come to Assemblies of God. No, be a Christian. If you're a Christian, be a Christian. Whether you're Catholic, you're Anglican, you're Methodist, you're Presbyterian, those things will not matter in heaven. The key thing is, are you a child of God? If you're a child of God, are you worshiping him? Are you falling down before him? Are you falling prostrate before him? Are you submitting everything before him? Are you casting your crowns before him? Like the 24 elders, you are putting down your prestige, your authority, your position, your power, your dignity, your whatever you have, putting it before him and loving upon him and allowing him to manifest his glory through you. Unless you bring yourself to that point, love him, obey him, serve him, reverence him. Look at what Revelation chapter 4, verse 8 to 11 says. Each of these living beings has six wings. and their wings were covered all over with eyes inside and out. Day after day and night after night, they keep on saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord, the Almighty, the one who always was, who is still to come. Whenever the living beings give glory and honor and thanks to the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down and worship the one being, the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever. And they lay their crowns before the throne and say, you are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and they exist because you created what you please. Now look at my face. Whatever and whoever your wife or your husband is, God is pleased by creating you. And listen carefully. Well, however bad it is, God is pleased by creating you. In other words, by bringing the two of you together. God is pleased. So if he's pleased, acknowledge and agree with him to manifest his glory through it. Don't look at only the negatives. You can find 1,001 reasons not to even look at her face or receive her. Are you getting the point? Let me end. Some of you want to go home. Number 4. Never worship each other. Never. God is going to bless you. God brought you from nowhere. He will give you that degrees. But remember that you were born not with degrees. Can I hear amen? Yeah. You have come to Canada. When you are coming, you didn't even have a passport. But now, you have a Canadian passport. No, God will promote you. God will bless you. God will make you feel and see yourself like you are a king or you are God. But never assume that you are God. Never place yourself in that position. Look at the scripture. Never worship each other. See the God nature in each other. Appreciate the creativity, the innovation in each other. But never worship each other. Never replace each other with God. Now listen to the scripture. The Bible says, and the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb in the marriage. And he added, these are true words that come from God. Then I fell down at his feet to worship him. But he said, no, don't worship him. I am a servant of God, just like you and your brothers and sisters who testify about their faith in Jesus. Worship only God, for the essence of prophecy is to give a clear witness for Jesus. The essence of the prophecy, of the prophetic word that we are going to proclaim upon husband and wife today, that has been proclaimed upon you, the essence of that prophetic word, by saying that I love you, I will live with you for the rest of my life. That prophetic word is supposed to be a witness, a clear witness for Christ. So when people see your marriage in the world, they should see Christ. Yeah. Let me end it. God's holy people are blessed with good deeds. Believe in each other. We have prepared. We have been given a clean garment to wear. We are holy. God's holy people are blessed with good deeds. You are a holy person. Don't see yourself wrong. Do good deeds to each other. Listen carefully. Do good deeds to each other. Yeah, do good deeds. Do good deeds with each other. Do good deeds for each other. Testify about your faith in Jesus, for the essence of prophecy is to give a clear witness for Jesus. Now listen to me as I bring my message to a close. This marriage is prophetic. Every marriage is prophetic. That's why the Bible says it's mystery. I still don't understand it. I don't get it. How it all went around, how I even met my wife when we were on campus. Campus means no school. Those of you are in Canada. Okay. So, mystery. Because you walk through life and there are so many people you meet on your way and you think you are supposed to marry them and you don't. But somewhere, somehow, you end up marrying somebody. And sometimes you yourself, you sit and ask yourself, why did I even... How did that even happen? Marriage is prophetic. So every marriage of two Christ believers is so. Holy Spirit led individuals is a prophecy. The marriage that is contracted by two believers, spiritual believers, is a prophecy that is said in this world at this time to do only one thing. Don't forget to do only one thing. Give a clear witness to Jesus, the only Savior and Lord of the world. Listen, your marriage is not about you. It is all about Christ. So when people look at your marriage, Who do they see? Do they see you or do they see Christ? I pray that today you receive the anointing to go and be a clear witness for Christ. Can we pray? Maybe you are listening to me. Just pray silently in your heart and ask God, the Holy Spirit, to help you, to guide you, to direct you. Ask God to help you. Ask God to help you to do only one thing, to praise God, to praise one another, to worship God. And no matter how God blesses you, always remember that you are a servant and you are not God. Lift up your voice and thank God. Lift up your voice and thank God. For a healthy marriage, you have to learn to praise God. You have to learn to worship God. You have to learn to praise each other. Learn never to worship each other. No matter how high God blesses each other, remember you are servants of God. Our Father, we thank you. Our Father, we bless you. Our Father, we honor you. We exalt your name in Jesus' mighty name. Can I hear amen?
Thank you for your time. We pray that this message will continue to be a blessing in your life. Please visit us at livingwordag.org or whenever you are in the Greater Toronto Area, Ontario, Canada. This podcast is made possible through your generous donations. God bless you and keep you. Join us again soon.